Well, good morning, everybody. How are we doing?
Good.
Well, welcome to Only Believe Ministries in Canton, Ohio. My parents just left for vacation yesterday. They drugged me out of bed at like 3 in the morning to take them to the airport. But they made it safely. And even though their vacation just started, I know that they already miss you guys and they're praying for you and they're constantly thinking about you guys. So while they're gone this morning, you guys get to deal with me. So we're going to pray and believe that the Holy Spirit takes over and that we have a great morning. Because without him, it won't be as good. So I'm going to go ahead and pray and then we'll get started. So Father God, I just thank you for the service this morning, Lord God. I thank you for your presence, ushering in, directing where we go, directing our words, directing the worship, Lord God. And I just praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Excuse me for a minute, but I'm lost on a sin. It might not be okay, but it's from my heart, and no one else can tell what the Lord has done for me. It's my take or take, so I better start right now, and it might get loud. Heaven's coming down, down, down. It might get loud. It might get loud. Heaven's coming down, down, down. It might get loud. It might get loud. Heaven's coming down, down, down. It might get loud. I think I hate you. Just quiet to be louder, God.
tell him today?
I raise a hallelujah. And I raise a hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus, we praise you. Father, we praise you today.
We magnify you.
They sing songs of praise. They sing songs of victory. Even though it might not have looked like it at first, their chains might have still been on. But they sing a song of praise. They sing a song of victory. So this morning, whatever situation it looks like in your life, it may look bleak. You may be bound in some area this morning. But I want you to sing a song of praise, a song of victory. And I promise, just like Paul and Silas, there's going to be a victory that comes. There's going to be a praise that comes that's even greater. When they begin to praise, the cells begin to open, not just for them, but those that were around them. So your praise, the Bible says there's life and death in the power of your tongue this morning. What are you going to do? Are you going to complain? Or woe is me? But are you going to get up and praise him this morning? There's breath in our lungs this morning. We have life. So let's praise the God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords this morning. And let's set our eyes on his faithfulness today. Church this morning. You're the light that consumes the dark. You're the joy and the strength, so I can lift up my hands and sing. And I enter the gates with nothing but thanks. I want to magnify your worth. I want to bring you more. This morning. Oh God, let me not forget to sing in the valley, to look toward your goodness. Come on, let's set our hearts today. This morning, my feet.
With the one who has conquered all. morning, everybody. Again. Man. Okay. I'm trying to remember the announcements. You get caught up praying and in the spirit and preparing yourself, because this message this morning, I may or may not have fought God on for a day, because it hit me, and it's challenging me, and it's basically the message is aimed directly at me. So what God's having me do is sharing something with you this morning that he's wanting me to deal with. And if it hits you, or if you feel like I'm talking to you, or you feel like I'm talking at you, or you get a little heated by it, then just know that it's the Holy Spirit getting at you and not me. The only announcement I can think of is the marriage conference on the 11th, right? It's the 11th. 11th, and it's just the 11th. It's from 6 to 9. I do remember the date and time. I just didn't. No, I think it's only one this time. And I think it's in Bakken's, right? We're all supposed to be going to Bakken's. Gotcha.
February 11th.
All right. So that's the only announcement I can think of, huh? Oh, and there is childcare. So if you're worried about your kids, they got people that's going to watch them. They have really, really good volunteers, like, honestly. So if you're worried about who the volunteers are, I mean, you got a couple that used to work as volunteers, and then you got me that used to work. Well, may not be the best example. But anyway, so make sure, honestly, even if everything's going great, everything's going down south, or if it's just kind of in the middle, make sure you get there. I feel like it's going to be a time where stuff just gets strengthened, and if it's already strong, it's going to get stronger. So the kids can go. I don't have nothing else for you. All right, so for offering this morning, God really kind of hit me with the scriptures that we already know, 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7. For he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, he who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Out of the abundance of our heart, let us give. Well, I started to think about that because we all know it, we all understand it. And then I started to think of like kind of a visual representation. So then God immediately, and I don't remember this off the top of my head, but the woman with the two mites. When you look at the story where Jesus said that she gave more than all of them, it's a physical representation of the scripture. Because she gave out of the abundance of her heart and out of everything that she had. And everybody else that gave around her just gave out of the excess, out of what they already had, what was already stored up. She had nothing but these two mites, and she gave it all because her heart was in the right spot. The others, they may have gave a good amount. They may have gave a lot of what they had, but I don't think their heart was in the right spot. I think they were just kind of doing it mundanely, like, oh, this is what the custom is. This is what we're supposed to do, so we just do it. I believe that she honestly purposed what her offering was. That when she gave it, she said, I thank you, Lord, that this is not the end of my what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word I'm looking for. This is not the end of my money. We'll just go that. This is not the end of my money. It's not the end of my finances. That it's going to grow. You're going to bless me. You're gonna set me up for victory. You're gonna set me up to be successful. While all these others are like, well, say you got a man who's got thousands and thousands of dollars, he's giving out a few hundred dollars. Well, God, here's my hundred that I'm giving you this week. I pray you bless it, and then just walks away. Or you got the one who comes up and he's like, well, God, I could use this for this, this, and this, but here you go, and just throws it in there. And just kind of does it because it's a habit instead of doing it with the intent and purpose of honoring God and blessing God with what's already God's and purposing it in his heart to have a plan and a prayer for why he's giving it. So this morning I just wanted to put a reminder just to reevaluate your heart. Not saying that you're not givers, because I know you guys are givers. I know you guys love to give. I know you guys do it cheerfully. But I think this morning is just to kind of make sure that we're not getting complacent in our spirit when we give. So we're going to go ahead and bring the buckets up, and I'm going to pray. And Father God, I just thank you this morning for the people that are giving, Lord God, and the people who may not be able to this morning, Lord God, but that each and every single one purposes in their heart what they're going to give you, what they're going to bless you with, and what they're going to give back to you, Lord God. And I pray that they come with a purpose. They come with an expectation of what you're going to do with their offerings and with their tithes, Lord. And I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I was just laughing because she was eyeballing me when she went to give. Like, she's like, you better see the smile on my face when I give. So I just thought it was funny. All right. So the message this morning is something that God's kind of been working with me on the beginning of this year, especially because I feel like there's some things that need to be moving and going in certain directions. And he wanted me to call it the little things. And it got me thinking about certain things, like how in order to lead, I got to serve. In order to be somebody that can tell somebody how to do something, I got to show you how to do it. And God kind of flipped my perspective around a little bit. And he started to talk about things like, how often have you just not went to service because you didn't feel like it? Or how often did you not go to service because the person that you wanted to speak just happened to not be there? And he started to remind me that, like, you can't despise the small beginnings or the little things, but you also can't despise being somewhere when it's uncomfortable, being somewhere when you don't necessarily want to be there, being somewhere that's going to be challenging for you. And so the message is going to be a little back and forth between our gifts and our talents and making sure that we're where we need to be and doing what we're supposed to be doing. So the first thing I'm going to read is out of Matthew 25, and it starts in verse 14, and I'm sure we all know this story. I think I got it right. Hold on. Okay, yeah. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." Now I'm going to stop there because I started to really ponder what that meant. He gave 1 5, he gave 1 2, and he gave 1 1 to his several ability. And it started to make me think about the church and how some of us have more than one role. Some of us have different responsibilities than others. Some of us have different positions as others. The thing that the thing that really gets me is it says according to their several abilities. So we're each given gifts and talents. So some of you out there may have the gift of speech. You're very eloquent. You can talk. You can, but God didn't necessarily give you the gift or the call of being a minister or being a pastor, being an evangelist. That doesn't mean that that gift isn't going to be used. That just means that that gift is going to be used in a way that you didn't design it, you didn't plan it, God did. Because to be honest with you, if you guys don't realize at times, I'm not the greatest at speech. But yet, God put me up here. Why he put me up here, I don't know. But what I've been realizing over the last few years especially is I have to be faithful with everything and every spot that I'm put in. Because to be honest with you, when I was younger, I hated the thought of being in this situation. I didn't want to be in front of people. I don't want to talk in front of people. I want to be able to just be in the background, do all the stuff behind the scenes and not worry about it, not be seen, not have to focus on anything. Well, God took my weakness and he's showing you his goodness and who he is by having me up here, because if it was up to me, I wouldn't be. So I'm going to continue reading and we'll go on. If I can find it again. Oh, then he that received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that received two, he also gained another two. But he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money. I'm going to stop there too. So the man who had the five talents, he went and doubled it. The man who had the two went and doubled it. The man who had the one buried it. Now, when these men were given their talents, I'm pretty sure they were given their talents all together, because it doesn't say that he separately gave them. So they got to see. And obviously, the man with five was given confidence because he's like, oh, you trust me with this much? Yeah, let me go take care of this. The man with two was given, like, oh, you don't trust me as much, but you still trust me, so I'm going to go double this. And it doesn't say it, but like, for me personally, I started to think about how I would have been affected had I been younger and something like this happened where somebody was given a lot, somebody was given a little bit, and then I was given just one, like one thing, like $1. Here's a dollar, go make this work. And then the number one killer of our journeys and our walks, comparison. And he started to compare the fact that he was only given one and they were each given more. So they had more of an opportunity to make something for him because they had extra. He only had one. So in his thought processes, I'm only trusted with one. I must not be trusted very much. What happens if I lose this? What happens if I don't double it? What happens if I come back and I have nothing to show for it? So instead of being faithful with it, instead of going trading it and doubling it like the other two did, he hid it because he was afraid that he'd lose it. And I feel like in our walks with Christ, we have gifts and talents. Everybody in here has a gift or a talent that God specifically designed for you to use for his glory. And I don't know if it was because you compared to somebody who had a similar gift, or is because you've seen all the work and effort that it takes to get into it and saw that it was a little too hard, or you've seen somebody fail trying to do something similar and it scared you. But I'm telling you today that God wants you to pick it back up. But the thing is, we're going to have to be like Jonah in this and go back to the original plan and start following the steps. Because God's not going to elevate you. God's not going to use it. God's not going to grow it until you start honoring the little things, the small beginnings, the times where you have to go and do things that make you a little uncomfortable. You have to go and speak to this person who looks like they're completely lost and down on their luck and like they have nothing left, and you have 4 or 5 minutes at the store to get what you need to get and leave, but you know that if you stop and talk to this person, you're going to be late to everything else because you got so much to do that day, but God's saying, go get them. Because if you're faithful here, when you start to ask me for your dream, for your vision, for what you want to do in life, I'll know you can handle it. Because I think a lot of times when we look at what God has called us to do, when we look at the vision of what God has called, we start to focus on the vision. And everything that we do is in direction of that vision that we think is in the direction of that vision. And then when we get God telling us to do something that doesn't look like what we think the vision is going to be, we think it's pulling us away, so we don't want to go that way. But God's saying, no, everything that I plan and I purpose and I call you to do is in accordance with where I'm having you go. So don't miss opportunities just because they don't look the way that you want them to look or because it's not how you wanted it to be or how you wanted it to go. Go do it. Because if you honor it and you follow it and you do it, I'm sure that the man with 5 talents, while he was trading, he may have felt uncomfortable at one point. He may have been like, I don't know if I should trade this to this guy. I mean, I don't know if my master would do this because it seems like a gamble. And then maybe he got that tug. Do it. And so he did it. And he doubled it. And as a result of him doubling it, let me find where I'm at. Okay. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And so he that received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou delivered me 2 talents. And I have gained another 2 talents beside them. And the Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast sown not, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Which servant are we? Out of those 3, which one are we? Are we the two that's able to come to God and be like, God, you gave us this and we did this? And God said, good, you're faithful with that, I could put you here. Or are we the ones that when God comes to check on our progress, we have to sit there and say, well, God, I thought I was supposed to do this. Or, well, God, I thought I was supposed to do that. And the one thing that God told us to do never got done. And so now we're sitting here making all these excuses, making all these things, because we went and did what we thought we were supposed to do instead of where God wanted us to be at. It's like, for an example, and the reason why this was so big for me this year and over the last year was because when I started to really look at the youth ministry, when we first started it, I had my own vision and my own plan of what I thought God was going to do. And so I did things the way that I thought God wanted me to. And I kept running into the same cycle. Everything would go great for a while. We'd be doing good. We'd be doing great. I'd have so many kids. And then it'd fall apart for a while. And then we'd build it back up. And what I started to realize is I was trying to focus on how I could teach the kids, just how I could teach the kids, instead of how I can build relationships with the kids. Because when I first started, I would have never had a kid try to message me on social media in the morning and be like, hey, we having service this morning? Well, why aren't we having service? Why aren't we having class this morning? And then I come walking in, and he's getting all up on me. And I'll joke with him and have fun with him, but to be honest, for me, that's a big cornerstone. Like, he doesn't understand how much that means to me. Because over the past 8-9 years of having the youth, I feel like I'm finally at the point where I stopped focusing on what I thought were the little and important things and actually looked for what the little and important things really are in God's eyes. I think a lot of times we have that flip backwards. We see all these big opportunities. We want to always have, and don't get me wrong, we need it, and obviously we're going to have it, and outreaches and and services and stuff like that. Like, obviously that's pivotal. But what I think is we get so wrapped up in just when the next outreach is, so I can be a witness to somebody in this outreach, or when the next time we're having an event here, so I can volunteer at an event, instead of, hey, this person needs somebody to witness to. Let me go talk to them. This person looks lost. Or, hey, my church looks like we're lacking volunteers in this area. I should go take care of that. I think sometimes we get caught up in, oh, that person looks like they need Jesus. I'm going to pray that somebody goes and talks to them. Hello? Jesus literally just showed you what you needed to do when you seen that person. Go do it. Don't sit there and wait. And I'm guilty of it just as much as anybody else. This is why God really hit on me with little things. Because I was so focused on just building and growing the kids in my ministry when I was younger that I didn't see the importance of building a foundation of relationship. If you don't find out what the importance is of the foundation of everything and every opportunity that God's setting in front of you, you're going to miss it. And then that foundation is going to be crumbly, and then when everything that you dreamed and planned starts to fall apart, you're going to be like, God, why is this happening? And God's going to be like, you remember that time I told you to do this? But God, that was just a small thing. He who is faithful a little is faithful in much. So, in order for us to start being faithful with a little and heading towards much, obviously is the first and foremost thing, and I wrote it down, and we should all know what this is, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, everything will be added unto you. And I read that and I was like, why am I putting this in here? Everybody knows that. But I think sometimes we need a reminder. I think sometimes we forget that seeking the kingdom first in every aspect of our life is what we're supposed to do, is what's expected. Granted, God gives us the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to go do stuff sometimes, but I think sometimes God wants us to go get before him and pray, not because we're doing it wrong, but because he just wants to know that we're willing to go get the extra affirmation, even though we already know it's there. Because I think sometimes in those moments, God is testing us and seeing if we're going to be willing to do it, because if we don't do it at that time, who's to say the devil's not going to use that now to get in your ear and be like, oh, well, you didn't need to pray for that one. Why do you need to pray for this? And this seems a little bit more risky. This seems a little bit more borderline of what God wants you to do. But you didn't pray here. So why do you need to pray here? You already know that you wouldn't do this on your own. And who knows the rule of thumb? A lot of times when we look at what we believe God wants us to do, one of the first things we do is we think, is this something I would do in my own strength? Or in my own mind, or in my own power. And typically that is the rule of thumb, because if it's something that you wouldn't do on your own, it's something that God's normally calling you to. Sometimes we get so caught up in that standard that things that we actually would do start to look like things that we wouldn't do, and so then we just start to jump on it, and then we find out, oh, this isn't where God wanted us at all. This isn't where God needed us at all. That was one of the things that I really started to catch about David. When David became king and he went after Bathsheba and he went and had her husband killed, we start to see how easily it is for us to miss it. David's a man after God's own heart. David was a man who was faithful and came up with worship songs and prayers and all this that we see in Psalms that he had while he was out watching the sheep. And he still fell. And he still faltered. And then David quickly got back up, got right, went through the consequences, and that's why he became a man after God's heart, because even when he messed up, he knew where to go back to. Instead of what we do sometimes when we mess up, saying, "Oh, but God, I was just doing what you told me to do," and God's sitting there saying, "What are you talking about? I didn't tell you to go over here and start doing whatever it is that you were doing. I wanted you all the way over here. I wanted you over here in your prayer closet praying. I wanted you over here fasting. I wanted you over here reading and studying the word, because what you told that person, what you witnessed to that person, was nothing that matches the word of God. It matched what your perception of the word was, but you ain't been in the word in the past 3 months. So how are you going to know what the word actually says about what you said?" That's one of the biggest things that I think we as believers need to always, always, always choose to do, no matter what we feel, how we feel, or where we're at. Always be willing to pray. Always be willing to worship. Always be willing to set time apart. Always be willing to fast. Always be willing to be in the Word. Because I think at times we get a little complacent. Like we get up in a little, we get in a good spot, you know? Everything's going right. God's blessing us. God's blessing us. God's giving us what we need. So we get... No, that's not what I was worried about. We won't talk about what I was worried about. Keep it off live stream. My parents won't know. But anyway, so we get comfortable. We sit there, even let our feet kind of just sit there. All of a sudden something comes and God expects us to run after it, to chase it, to sit there and go, "Am I really ready to run?" Or maybe something's coming at me and it's pushing against me and I'm in a complacent area, I'm in a comfortable area. Am I going to be able to stop it in this position? No. I'm not going to be able to stop it in this position. Because I'm comfortable. Because I'm sitting here unexpected, not prepared, not ready. I'm just so focused on the everyday things in life, which obviously is not a bad thing. We were supposed to do everything as unto God. But I think too often we get focused on the routine we have. We get too focused on what's comfortable and what's easy instead of taking out that extra time in a day to say, "Hey, God, I know that I've been stuck in a routine lately. I know that I'm stuck doing this, this, and this. Show me where I need to go. Show me what I need to do. Show me who I need to be today and where I need to go today." Obviously, who I need to be is a little, this should be every day. But sometimes we let our humanity get the best of us and we don't act right. "God, show me how to repent to this person that I got attitude with. Show me how to make amends with this person who, because of how I reacted to them, how what I said to them, they said that they're never going to go to church if Christians are like me." We have to be focused on the little things. Yes, there's grace that abounds greatly, but in the moments where we're witnessing to somebody or in the moments where we're unprepared to witness to somebody. And let's say somebody comes up, starts challenging you, gives you attitude, or they come after your kids. I know. I don't know, but I get it. I understand. It's one of the hardest things to stay saved about. Honestly, like, I only have a niece and nephew. But I kid you not, she turns old enough, it's going to be hard to stay saved. Honestly. But in those moments, reveal where we've been at. And those moments will show whether or not this has been your God, whether or not this has been your meal, whether or not this is what you've been eating. Have you been in here? Or have you been praying? Have you been fasting? Have you really been in the will of God for your life? Because if you've been in the will of God for your life, even in those moments where it's going to be extremely hard to stay saved, you'll find a way because the Holy Spirit will teach you how to address that. So, obviously, okay, so we're going to go to our gifts and talents for a second because I want to talk about how we have gifts and talents, and I think when God starts to show them and reveal them to us, I think we get a little overexcited sometimes or overly fearful. And let's see. Okay, so James 1, 12 through 18, I think, says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, who comes down from the Father of lights, and whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." So I read that, and when we talk about gifts and talents, and when we talk about our vision of where God wants us to go, I think at times we get tempted in many different ways, many different forms. We get tempted to challenge the order of what the house is sometimes. I'm not saying, like my thing is, I'm not putting this on nobody, so don't start throwing stuff at me and get mad. This isn't putting on anybody. This is just, honestly, as a church whole, as a group around the entire world, I think at times we get so caught up in what our vision is and what our purpose is and what we think our gifts and talents are that we challenge the authority of the house. And God's saying, honor that authority. You have to submit in order to access what he has planned for you. If you don't submit, if you don't serve, if you don't follow where God is going, because when God sets an order, he expects that order to be honored. When King Saul saw that David was meant to be the next king, he tried to kill him. David honored God all the way up to and through Saul's death. To the point where when Saul died, he not only mourned Saul, he killed the man that killed him. Because Saul was God's anointed. Now, two different examples, obviously. Saul and the leadership in church are not the same. Like, don't get it twisted. It's not the same. But I gave you that example for you to understand that even in situations where you may not like it, you may not enjoy it, it may not be fun. It may come with a lot of correction. It may come with some rebuke. If God set it in front of you, God knows what he's doing. God knows that leadership is needed for for you to grow and reach the full potential of who you are. And sometimes that means that you're expected to show up at services and things where it's not the person you want to hear, when it's not the person that you think it should be. But God's saying, you know what, go anyway. And you're like, whoa, God, I don't want to go to this person speaking today. You know, last time they spoke, I didn't feel nothing. You don't have to feel anything. God isn't about feeling. God is about honoring and obedience when he tells you to go and you go. So every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. But if you're not seeking first the kingdom of God and you're not honoring everything that he is commanding and directing you to do, those gifts will never be flourished. You'll never see them come to pass. Because in order for those gifts to come to pass, you have to honor what God is setting in front of you. And so, okay, I don't remember where this one is. Let me read this real quick, see if, or not. I always have a hard time remembering where Thessalonians is at. So, give me a second. All right. Okay. I'm gonna read this, and then we'll see where God has, because he had me put it down to read it. So, okay, never mind. My bad. It says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. So God had me read that because we were talking about prayer, reading, fasting, and the word. When it says, prove all things, I find that very, very, very pivotal and very critical when it comes to chasing after what we think God wants us to do. Because we could have a vision or a dream or an ideal of saying, oh, I want to be a pastor. Oh, I want to be a worship leader. Oh, I want to be work with the children or work in the youth. And we could have that, and we could just chase after that without any prayer. What if we want to be a pastor, but we have no patience for everything that comes with it? Because there's a lot that comes with being a pastor. A lot. There's things that come with being a pastor that you'll never see, but it's there. What if you want to be on the worship team, but with all due respect, you sound like a dying duck? Now, granted, you still make the joyful noise. Like, you sound like that duck. Still keep worshiping, still keep praising. But if you know that you don't have that gift or that talent, do you really think God wants you up here? Now, if his spirit comes on you and you worship with all trueness, all spirit, and you have that ability to lead and worship spiritually, who knows? But if you can't sing and you don't have that ability and you just want to do it because it looks cool watching Logan up here flipping his hair on the guitar, whatever. Don't do it. Because God didn't direct you to it. It just looks cool. Or maybe You want to go work in the children's church, but you ain't never been around kids in your life. You ain't never took care of a kid. You don't have kids. I don't have a kid, but I had to watch kids. So, I mean, I guess, you know. But maybe you've never had an interaction with children, but you want to go work with children. Is that where you think God wants you to be? No. We get so focused on trying to jump to just do stuff. And, you know, it's great to jump to do stuff, but you're jumping over the things that you can do and serve without any real direction. You want to become a pastor, do what Pastor Dosik had to do and clean the church. You want to be a worship leader, make sure that the rows are, like, there's little things that God wants us to do that we want to skip over because it's too easy, it's too simple, it's too mundane. And God's saying, I want to see how faithful you can be in the mundane things, because if you're giving up and you're not even putting effort in this now, right here, you're not willing to clean the toilets, you're not willing to go and sweep or mop up the floors, you're not willing to go out and take the trash out, if you're not willing to do that for the kingdom now, how could I ever put you in charge of souls that are going to test you, try you, push you, challenge you, hate you, cuss you out? That's an extreme, but true, they try to kill you. But if we can't do these little things that God wants us to do, and I'm not telling everybody to go start cleaning the toilets. That's not what I'm telling you to do. Find out whatever it is that God wants you to do. Maybe it's just when you make your weekly trip to the grocery store, instead of just looking for groceries and leaving, take a couple extra laps and see who you can affect, who you can speak into. Or maybe if you have kids that are in sports, when you're watching the sport, you don't get overly excited and start yelling at your kid when they're doing the right thing, but they're not doing what you want to do. Oh, I like being up here and getting to pick on people that you don't know I'm picking on. It's fun. But anyway, don't despise God setting you up in the small things, because those small things are what's going to lead to the bigger things. So the most important thing is seeking God, right? Because if you don't seek God, you'll never actually truly hear it. And the other thing is, don't despise somebody coming up here and coming up to you and correcting you when you're doing something wrong. And that can be one of the hardest things to do, is sit there and listen to somebody give you correction. And it may not be my dad or my mom, or it may not be leadership. It may just be one of your fellow congress members who look at you and, did I just say congress members? Oh, jeez. Your family. We're just going to use the word family. Maybe it's one of your other family members in here, and they see something, and they come up to you and be like, hey, I noticed you've been doing this, and I think it's great that you're willing to do it, but God kind of put it on my spirit to tell you it ain't what you're supposed to be doing. Maybe you should try going over here. And like, the thing about youth ministry, if you even remotely think that you might not be cut out for it, take that as God. If you without praying, if you're like, I think I might want to join the youth ministry, but, boy, are you sleeping? All right. But if you wanting to volunteer for the youth ministry, that is great. I suggest a minimum of like a month worth of prayer and fasting. And I'm not saying you have to fast for the entire month, but take a month to really pray, seek, and fast, because if God isn't calling you to be in charge of the youth or to work with the youth, then don't try to do it. But that is one of the quickest ways to find out that you ain't where God wants you to be. Trust me. And it took a lot of, and it's not because of the kids. Like here's the thing. When I found out that I was going to be a youth pastor one day, and God kind of gave me the vision direction, the number one thing I wasn't worried about was I wasn't worried about spending time with teenagers or loving a teenager. Like, that's not the hard part. The hard part is when you have some of those teenagers that didn't get raised the same way you did or with the same views you did or with the same respect level that you were raised with. And so you start watching a youth disrespect a leader or their own parent, and you have to stay saved in that moment, and you can't, and you have to love them through it. Learning how to love a kid through those moments was the biggest challenge for me. Because for those of you that know me really well, I'm a pretty straightforward person. So when somebody does something that I think is stupid, I tend to be straight about it. But in those moments, I started to realize that if I was full-on straight and blunt like my parents were with me in those situations with those particular kids, I would lose them. So in that moment, the little thing at that time, you see, y'all thought I got sidetracked. We're still focused. The little thing that I had to focus on, the little thing I had to be faithful with was learning how to love a kid through that moment, learning how to have compassion, learning how to have grace, learning how to just show a kid how they're really supposed to be living in those moments instead of just getting on them about it. Now, am I perfect at it? Nope. Are there times where I have to go back and apologize to some teenagers? Yep. Not you, though. But but honestly, when you really stop focusing on what you think it is and you start focusing on, well, God, I'm going to seek you, and you give me the direction, you give me the position, you give me everything, you start to see things in a different light. You stop seeing things as challenges, and you start seeing them as opportunities. You stop seeing things as struggles or losses or failures, and you start seeing those things as lessons. Because the only time that we truly lose is when we decide to give up. And the only time we truly decide to give up is when we stop allowing God to be the center and the lead in those moments. So that's what God wanted me to give you today. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. Do we have any? We have 4 prayer requests. So I'm going to pray for those. And then I'm going to pray us out. And then this Thursday, make sure you're here. Teens, if you can make it out, make sure you're here too, because it's going to be Pastor Tim from Bakken's. Hold on. It's Tim, right? Let me look again. I just want to make sure. I don't want to be wrong. Yeah, so it's going to be Pastor Tim LeMaster from Bakken's. He's going to be here, so. How do you pronounce his name? Lita? Okay, all right. Lita Kodak has COVID. Marie Alsop has an unspoken request. Jeannie has a high fever. And Candy is continued healing from hematoma. That is a $4 word. I don't know what that is, but God knows what it is, so he's going to take care of it. All right, so Father God, I just pray for Lita. I pray that you heal her from COVID, Lord God, that you just start to bring all the symptoms down, Father God, that she just starts to feel 100% herself. If she's lost her taste, Father God, I pray that you give her a taste. She lost smell, give her that. Whatever symptoms she's suffering from, Lord God, I thank you that you're going to start to show her that you have healed her and touched her body by bringing those back, Father God, and I just praise you and I thank you for it. And Lord, I pray for Marie, Lord God, that you know what her request is, Father God, and I pray that you just touch her and whatever it is that she needs this prayer for, Lord God, that you just, your presence just fills her up, Father God, and that whatever it is, that you just answer what she needs and in the way that she needs, Father, and I just thank you for it. And Father, I pray for Jeannie and her high fever, Lord God. I pray that you break her fever and it comes back to normal, Father God. I pray that you just bring her health back quickly, Father God, as she's able to make it back in here. And Lord, I pray for Candy, Lord, that you continue to heal her from hematoma, Father God, that you just touch her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord God, that you just bring her back to 100% health. And I just thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name. And Father God, I just thank you for the service today, Lord God. I pray that the message that was given was a message that was designed and directed by you, Lord God. I pray that I was faithful to say what you needed me to say, Lord God. And I pray that you protect and guide each and every single one of the people in here, Lord God, as they leave and as they go out through their week, Father God, that you just protect them, you keep them safe, and you keep them healthy. And Father God, I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great week. See you Thursday.